probably the more substantial part of part one is column B, which reports your net investment income, your interest, your dividends, your capital gains, your rents, royalties, all subject to the 1.39%. Capital losses can only be taken to the extent of capital gains, and there is a kind of investment strategy here. If you're going to be selling an investment at a loss, you may want to make sure that you have some gains in that year. If you're going to write off a security and maybe it's not worthless in that year, maybe write it off in a year that you have other capital gains. This way you're not wasting those losses that cannot be carried forward for excise tax purposes. Do not include unrelated business income items or expenses. Those are only reported on the 990T, should not be double counted, and expenses not double counted as well. Program-related investment income, even though generated from a charitable activity, is still subject to the net investment income tax. That's included in the regulations under 4940, so no exception to if you're earning, you know, some interest on a program-related loan, or, you know, income from a K-1 from a program-related equity investment. All ordinary and necessary expenses paid to generate investment income can be taken as an offset to your gross income. Certain expenses can be allocated between investment income and charitable. The two examples we see most often are accounting fees and legal fees. You know, if I'm a tax preparer and I'm working on a return that has a significant amount of alternative investments, maybe 50% of my time is spent on investment-related items. So 50% of those accounting expenses can reasonably be allocated to offset net investment income.
Yeah, and I think that that's legal fees both externally but also internally. If you have in-house counsel that's working on your investment portfolio, to have a allocation of that time to make sure that that flows through as a expense related to investment activities.
And you should allocate based on actuality, you know, not just what's most beneficial for the foundation in a given year. So there may be a year where you don't have any gross investment income, and you may want to not allocate a portion of your accounting or legal fees to investment income because you would get more benefit treating that as a qualifying distribution. So it has to be reasonably allocated regardless of the biggest benefit to the foundation. Just a couple other notes. Section 4940 excise tax cannot be taken as a deduction for net investment income tax purposes. And if you're dealing in an oil and gas investment, one nuance is you may see cost depletion and percentage depletion on the K-1. Only cost depletion can be taken for net investment income tax expense purposes. Not on this slide, I wanted to talk briefly about partnership income. Partnership income maintains the character as included on the K-1. Typically, we see partnership income summed on line 11 as other income. However, you need to at least break out between capital items and other income items, because capital items should be reported on line 7, and again, losses cannot be taken in excess of gains. The other thing I wanted to highlight, again, not on this slide, if you have investments in passive foreign investment companies, typical error that I see is a foundation making an election to treat that income as earned, tax when earned. So essentially making an election, a PFIC election, which can only be done for income tax purposes, cannot be done for excise tax purposes. So essentially, if you're doing that, you're telling the IRS that it is an income tax item subject to unrelated business income taxes. And so just be careful. If you have PFIC investments, it's taxed upon distribution to the extent of earnings and profits. And then it's a return of capital, and then it's a capital gain in excess of basis. So just a common error that I see in working with various organizations. Column C is adjusted net income, mainly used for operating foundations. I know we had a number of new folks enter the room. Does anybody represent an operating foundation or deal with operating foundations? If not, we may gloss through that part of the presentation. One thing to note is there are instances where a non-operating foundation would have information reported in column C. mainly if there's a charitable activity that's earning income that has excess expenses that you want to take as a qualifying distribution. So for example, if a non-operating foundation has a publication, a charitable publication that earns $1,000 of income, has $1,500 of expenses, you'll want to report that in column C, and then the excess $500 can be taken as a qualifying distribution in column D.